Gentiles were told that the gospel was open to them. And Peter was saying, you know, well, they're given the Holy Spirit. All right, they can be part of the church. They don't have to be Jews first. And when the Gentiles heard these things, they fell silent. And then they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also has God granted repentance that leads to life. They glorified God with spoken words, out loud words, words that were heard. All right? So that was last week. We talked about spoken words of acknowledgement, words of praise, words of thanksgiving, words of in our singing, and saw many places in Scripture where we are encouraged to glorify God that way. But you know, are words enough? Words alone? They're a good start. Yeah, but they're not totally the only way we glorify God. So we're going to look at a second way this week and then another one next week. All right? So let's open in prayer. Our Father and our God, we so appreciate your word and the truth that's there. And as we search through your word to see of ways that we can glorify you, please open our eyes to your word and open our hearts and that we might see and understand. And we thank you for the opportunities we have in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. All right, so the outline there I'm giving you, I put lines after each of the scripture verses in case you want to jot something down about those, but that's up to you. But at least it's a good, if nothing else, it's a good list of the different scriptures that we're going to look at today. All right, about a second way of glorifying God. Okay. LaDonna says lifestyle. All right, that gets exactly into the heart of what we're talking about. All right. We've already kind of answered the question there about the words alone bring glory to God. Let's see, I have a little note here. Oh, in Matthew 25:40, scripture there. That's the parable of the sheep and the goats. That's a good one. Let's go. Let's look at that. Matthew 25. Oh, we have a latecomer. Please stand and tell your name. Just kidding. All right. Okay, so Matthew 25. Well, I hope this is the right verse I'm looking at. All right. Okay, I'm going to start up at verse 33. And this words of Jesus here. And he says, "And he'll place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you and the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or visit you?' And the king answered them, 'Truly I said to you, if you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did that to me.'" Now in the next paragraph, and it goes to talk about the goats, all right, just notice that the goat's reaction, the unrighteous reaction, was, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger," and so forth. All right, so they called him Lord. They had the right word there. But they didn't understand what? Why were the goats punished there? They said the word Lord. They thought Jesus was their Lord. But what didn't they do? They didn't do anything about it. All right. Evidently, their hearts were not in the right place. And even more important, their actions weren't in the right place. Their conduct, or what, as Madonna said, their lifestyle, all right, was not one where they were serving others as they would have served Christ. All right. Of course, we have a great example of that, going back to the first scripture up there, 1 John 3:18. Turn there real quick. All right, again, the words of Jesus. Oh, sorry. I went to John instead of 1 John. Rookie mistake. Yes. I'm sorry? Did I run off the wrong lesson? Oh, no, I did. I'll be darned. I don't know what this is. Here's a lesson, too. Well, the only one I've got my answer key thing. I guess you could run off. But this is the one. What in the world? I'm not sure how that happened. All right. Well, thank you. Okay. Okay. All right. I am very sorry, there, people. I don't know. I still can't figure out how I ran off one of lesson one and not a lesson two. That's really strange. Although I'm not without an excuse, because we watched our grandkids, 4 grandkids, 5 days this week, night and day. And another son's 3 dogs. So I'm kind of going on fumes right now. All right. But anyway, you can turn to 1 John 3:18. Like I said, we have a great example here. All right, where John's talking about love, going back to verse 16. By this we know that we love, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods, and sees a brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. All right, so you don't have your handouts yet. So what we're going to talk about today, then, last week was about audible words, this week's about visible actions. Okay? Visible actions, and I've kind of divided that into several categories there. Oh, okay. Yeah, that'll work. That'll work. Thank you. Again, I apologize for that. Still not sure how that happened. But things do happen, as we know. Okay, so on, Roman numeral 2 there, all right, the way that we are to glorify God. All right, last week was audible words, spoken words. This week it's visible actions, all right, visible actions. All right, of course, the key verse here, I think, is from Matthew 5. 14, part of the Sermon on the Mount. where Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." To see your good works, to visibly see what you're doing there. Okay? And that causes others to glorify God. All right? So, of course, one of the problems we have with that, especially as Reformed people, all right, we've got to understand that's not a part of our salvation. That does not give us justification. All right? But instead, what it does do is give glory to God. Okay, so this is I kind of stated this question awkwardly here, but how can we give glory to God through our actions and not us? I think that gets the point across, but it's kind of, again, it was an awkward sentence. So how can we make sure our actions give glory to God and not feed our pride? How can we do that? Mm-hmm. Okay. There is a good point. All right. There it is. So, in other words, you're saying that the spoken words have to go with the actions. All right. That the words that we speak have to define our actions there, all right? So along with the spoken words, equally critical here is the visible actions, all right? So I divided then the visible actions into some categories here, just like we did last week. Excuse me. And first category, it starts off with Galatians 1, verse 22. All right, so let's turn there real quick. Galatians 1. One way that somebody taught me to get the right order there for those four middle epistles is General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. All right, maybe that would help you. Okay. Galatians 1, verse, goats what? Eat. Oh, okay. Goats eat popcorn. Okay, that works too. All right, Galatians 1, 22. This is Paul talking about his ministry. All right. And he said, and he's defending himself to the Jews in Jerusalem, he said, "And I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They were only hearing that it was said, 'He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy.' And they glorified God because of me." Okay, why did the Jews then, the Christian Jews, glorify God there? Because Paul was preaching the faith. Exactly right. All right. He was doing a good work. So the first category there, Roman numeral 2 and then letter A, are works. All right. Through our works or through our conduct, which is what LaDonna was pointing out earlier there. All right. 1 Corinthians 10:31. The context here is, this is the long several section here where Paul's talking about dietary restrictions, all right? Do I eat meat that has been offered to idols? And Do I eat in a temple? And so forth. And so he wraps it up in verse 31 by saying, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. This is echoed here in 1 Peter 2:12. I'll just read this. Where Peter says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So through our works, through our visible works, and through our conduct, okay, that'd be maybe another word you could put there on letter A, our words and our conduct. All right. We people see this, and they glorify God. Again, as Bill pointed out, when we have the words to go with that, if our words and our works are synced up. What do you call a person who has the words but doesn't have the works?
Human.
All right. Yeah, hypocrite. That's what the word I was looking for, but human's good. All right, a hypocrite. Right. All right. Nobody likes a hypocrite. Unbelievers don't like hypocrites. Believers don't like hypocrites. All right. Nobody likes a hypocrite. All right. On the other hand, if you have somebody who has all the works but no words, people see that and think, wow, what a great guy. All right. That's a wonderful person, and they probably intend to get prideful after that. All right, letter B there. All right. Yeah. That is something I've heard many people say. Yeah. I just set a good example for people. And that's a good thing, but there's no reason not to put words with that. All right, thank you, Bill. All right, well, as you can see, I got lazy here, and instead of retyping things when I put something in the wrong place, I just drew an arrow. So we're going to pass on that one. And since we're already in 1 Corinthians, let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. Excuse me. Verse 19. Context here is Paul's teaching on sexual immorality, all right, which, of course, the Corinthians were dealing with very seriously. All right. And so he said there in verse 19, all right, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So, glorify God in your body. All right, so letter B there is our body, or what the Bible often says is our flesh. All right, we glorify God in our body. In our conduct, and in the flesh, in our body. All right? 1 Peter 4:2. If I have the right reference here, because we got a lot of verses in 1 Peter 2. All right? Peter says, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer in human passions, but for the will of God. All right? So we glorify God in our bodies. Whether we're talking about our certain sexual behaviors or other things that we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever, all right? We glorify God in that. Visibly, so that people can see this and give glory to God, but not to ourselves. All right? Along with that, again, we're in 1 Peter 4:16. Oops. I thought we were in 1 Peter. I was in 1 Peter here. All right, 1 Peter 4:16. This is kind of connected to, excuse me, serving God through your body, through your flesh. All right. Peter takes this to even further here. Okay, is that the verse I wanted? Well, let's see. All right, so 1 Peter 4:16. Excuse me here a minute. All right, here we go. All right. The context here is persecution. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. All right, and then down in verse 19, he says, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. So Roman numeral C is in their sufferings. And again, the context there is sufferings and persecution. All right, so again, while we're on to 1 Peter, all right, we'll go down to, go back up to verse 10. Okay. So we are to glorify God through our visible actions, in our works and conduct, in our body or flesh, and in our suffering. All right, all these things glorify God. All right, if they are equally supported by our words. All right, so letter D then. All right, let's read these verses. All right, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Okay, as each has been given a gift, let's use it to serve one another. Okay? So that in everything, God is glorified. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't read that last part of the verse. Pardon me. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So, letter D there. Excuse me. We can glorify God through our gifts or through our fruit. Spiritual gifts basically are not just used for ourselves, but in order to serve others, all right, especially believers in the body. Okay? If you go through the spiritual gifts and the spiritual fruit in the, especially in like Corinthians and Galatians, it's kind of surprising sometimes how many of those are actually serving gifts, all right? Are serving others, all right? Spiritual gifts, for example, in 1 Corinthians 12 deals with wisdom, knowledge, but also healing and also prophesying, things that build up the entire body, visible works, visible conduct. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all right, would be one that's a service type of gift. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness is another one, all right, self-control, all right. All these, in fact, are things that we do that glorify God. All right, any discussion on this or? Something else you would like to add? I have a couple more things I want to point out here, but go ahead, Jennifer. Yeah, we've mentioned before in here that I think that we can learn a lot as far as our enthusiasm and praise from the Pentecostals, but that is one thing that, always bothered me, is that, Yes.
Instead of going strictly by the list of what you read from Corinthians, the list that we read in Ephesians and Galatians, a gift is a gift. A gift is something that God has given you the ability to do.
Right.
God wants us to use a grain as a good cook. The grain is used for cooking for the glory of God. If I'm good at mowing the yard, I need to use my gift.
You're the guy I need to talk to. All right, one thing I want to run by you here real quick is I noticed that Sinclair Ferguson has come out with a new book called Union with Christ. And so I looked at that book, and I didn't look at the book, but I looked at the online. They let you read the first chapter, and read through the first chapter, and it sounded really, really good. As a matter of fact, some of it I quote in the this week's devotional, all right? But I also found out I think he has a teaching series on that. As a matter of fact, I think the teaching series came before the book. So if that's something that would interest you, I think if I ordered it this week, it would be ready in 2 weeks. We could do that instead of going on to Malachi, going back to the Minor Prophets. I didn't exactly sense a groundswell of enthusiasm for the Minor Prophets. Maybe I'm wrong. That sound okay to you, Pastor? All right. Okay. All right. I will order that this week then. Union with Christ. Right. The books? No, I could. Well, you asked me to order them. Well, of course, you can get online and order them yourself. It's just as easily as I could. But if you want me to do that, sure. All right. I wanted to give you a little preview for next week. So we talked about glorifying God through our spoken words, audible words. We've talked about glorifying Christ through our visible actions, all right? But even those two things are not quite enough, all right? Turn to Matthew 7. Pastor will be teaching next week, I hope. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Again, part of the Sermon on the Mount. All right, familiar words here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So here are people saying, calling Jesus Lord, and then talking about all the wonderful works they did in his name. And yet, Father saying, depart from me. Never knew you. All right? So what did they lack?
The answer
is the second half of the 21. Okay, which is? But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, through his strength, okay, so now we're not talking about an audible word, because they had that, or a visible action, because they had that, or we're talking about the heart. What do they believe in their heart? And God is saying there, yeah, you did these things, you say these things, but I never knew you. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Go ahead. Really? Well, that's good. We all need white out then, I guess. We all need to. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I understand. Can I tell a quick story about my wife? She said no. I don't. I'm ignoring her.